Pastor Denny, what are we talking about today?
Well, Pastor Frank, we are talking about, we're picking up in 2 Peter. We are in chapter 2. So we're going to pick up at right around verse 15. We had kind of a cliffhanger talking about Balaam and his error. So we're going to talk just briefly about Balaam as Peter continues to warn the church in his day and the church today. He warns us. So, okay. But let's begin with a word of prayer.
Yeah, let's begin with a prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have gathered us here this morning, and we pray your blessing on our study. Lord, that we pray that your Holy Spirit would fill this room, that our hearts would be turned toward you, and that we would be directed in love toward our neighbor. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, Pastor Frank.
Yes, Pastor Danny.
Could you read for us 2 Peter 2, 15 through 16?
Yeah. So they have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, a beast without speech, who spoke with a man's voice and restrained the prophet's madness.
Thank you. All right. So when Peter says they, right, picking up, just kind of dropping us in the middle here, he's talking about those people who are hypocrites, right? They come to church and they go through the motions of living within the Christian community, but they teach falsely, they believe falsely, and they proliferate false teaching and deceive other people. And he said they, right, that accursed brood, verse 14, they have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor. Pastor Frank, we could go and we could read the entire, that entire story.
We
Numbers,
could.
Numbers 22 through 24, three chapters. But instead of doing that, excuse me, I just kind of want to talk about, kind of summarize and paraphrase the what happens there. So Israel, as you know, in its early days, had lots of enemies. They were living in the midst of enemies all around, but they were safe in the promised land that God had led them to. And Balak, the commander, the leader at the time, saw the enemies, one particular group of hostile people, and he summoned a prophet, for lack of a better word. Balak summoned Balaam and said, "Hey, I need you to go and curse our enemies so that we can defeat them." Right, I need you to put a curse on our enemies so that we can defeat them. Now, Pastor Frank, that kind of rubs up against one of those important rules that God gave His people at Mount Sinai.
Yeah, I would think it was the second commandment.
Yes,
you shall not misuse the name of the Lord thy God, or you shall not use His name in vain or in emptiness is another way to say
it. Yeah, very good. So Balak, having known what those commandments were, intentionally asks a prophet. He just finds this guy and says, "I need you to break the Lord's command for the sake of us being able to beat our enemies." And Balaam, he says, "Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You know, if the price is right,
yeah,
sure." But as you know, Pastor Frank, the second commandment, we shall not misuse the name of the Lord our God. But Luther says in his catechism, he says, you don't misuse the name of the Lord your God, which means you don't use it in vain. You don't call upon it to curse or condemn or lie, deceive, use kind of this white magic, right? This superstitious kind of stuff.
You remember it in your catechisms translated as satanic arts.
Yeah.
But in the German or Latin, I don't remember. It was probably in German. In the German, it was white magic or superstition based on using God's name or sacred prayers of the Bible. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Luther says we're not supposed to do those things, right? We're not supposed to lie, deceive, curse, use satanic arts, white magic, whatever you want to call it. God has given us his name so that we can
call upon it in every trouble.
Every trouble, pray, praise, and thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Right? And so Balak, as Israel is surrounded by enemies, a good use of invoking the name of God would be to call upon it in this time of trouble, right? And then to give thanks and praise for when God does rescue Israel out of the hand of their enemies. But Balaam says, or Balak says, nah, instead we're just gonna ask Balaam, this prophet, to go and curse our enemies. So Balaam gets on his donkey and he's going along the way, and the donkey turns aside because the donkey sees an angel blocking the way. Balaam doesn't see it, and he gets kind of irritated at his donkey, and he strikes it, right? And then Pastor Frank, after the donkey has evidently had enough, what happens then?
So finally, I think if I was just kind of reviewing giving the story, but I didn't get that far. The donkey turns and tells him, like, what are you doing? Like, stop. Yeah. Like, why are you hitting me? And which I assume in the two instances that I can recall in the Bible where animals talk to people, had to have been a surprise both times. First, Adam and Eve in the garden. And then where the animals spoke poorly, and then here this Balaam, this donkey speaks well, and just says, Balaam, what are you doing?
And this donkey, as Peter says, restrained the prophet's madness.
Yeah.
So Balaam, when he is going out to speak a word of sin, right, using the name of the Lord to curse. He hears the true word of the Lord, the righteous word of the Lord, and he repents and he listens to it.
Yeah. So,
which is a happy ending, I guess.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
God sends his word out, whether there's a joke I could make here, but whether through the mouth of a man or a donkey, which sometimes it's kind of hard to tell the difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
But God sends his word out that people might hear it and repent. And this is what happens in the story of Balaam. But he says, St. Peter is kind of making a comparison. He's saying, now they, right, these people that we've been talking about, the proliferators of false teaching and those who live contrary to the word of God, they follow the way of Balaam, who love the wages of wickedness. That's the way that they follow. However, Balaam was rebuked, right? And he repented. But St. Peter is making the comparison that's about where the similarities end. Because there are those who will hear the word of God and be called to repentance and will simply harden their hearts and say, nah, I'm just gonna continue on in my wickedness. And St. Peter has some more words, some more names and descriptors for such people. Pastor Frank.
Yes.
Well, before we move on, I just wanna say this about verses 15 and 16. God sending, God speaking his word through many and various means. That is the whole of the Christian life, right? To hear the word of God and repent of your sin. Whether you've been a Christian for 5 minutes or 5 decades or longer for a lot of you, and Lord willing, me too. That is the whole of the Christian life, to go where you hear God's word rightly preached and rightly spoken, that you might be convicted of your sin and repent of it, right? That's what Martin Luther says when he talks about daily repentance. Remembering your baptism, right? That the old man be drowned daily and a new man arise to serve God in righteousness and blessedness. But also that we repent of our sin and we walk away, we turn away from those evil desires, which in the case of Balaam was a very literal turning away from the way of wickedness, right? Anyway, so that's you know, Pastor Frank and I, that's one of our primary jobs, is to speak the Word of God purely and clearly and truthfully so that you can hear it and have knowledge of your sin, but even more so, knowledge of the salvation and forgiveness that you have in Christ. So, as Jesus says, repent and believe the gospel.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Pastor Frank, let's move on here. We don't have a lot of time because I think we're going to have to end just a little bit early.
Oh, yeah, you got to
I'm going to have to go. So Alex is being baptized this morning, right? You guys were just talking about that before I...
Yeah, we talk about you when you're not around.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm used to it. So that's what
I imagine. It's only good ways, though. Yeah, you can certainly talk about people behind their back if you're saying nice things. You can always, if you ever feel like you want to talk about people behind their back, just say something nice. And yeah, you can talk about people as much as you want. Right?
That's what I imagine. So Alex and Mia share a room at their two cribs. And when they wake up in the morning, if they're both up, they'll just kind of babble back and forth. And I imagine that they're talking about us.
Yeah.
You know, but they're probably not. Anyway, so we are going to have to cut this just a little bit short because I've got family that I need to kind of help direct traffic and everything else. So
sure.
I apologize for that. But Pastor Frank, that's
yes,
all beside the point. Let's keep studying the Bible here.
Yeah.
Verses 17 through 19, please.
Yeah, so he's going to continue just talking about these false prophets and the fate that awaits them. These men are springs without water and mists driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them, for they mouth empty, boastful words. And by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him.
Okay.
Wow, that's, okay. Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Freedom, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, freedom, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you want to have freedom? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you actually free?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that. Yeah.
I know we will.
This is one of our favorite things to talk about.
Yeah.
So a couple of analogies, right? Springs without water, which is, it reminded me of our epistle lesson from James a few weeks ago, when James says, he's talking about taming the tongue, right? And he says, two different things, right? Different scenarios, but it reminded me of it, so I'm going to bring it up anyway. He says, when he's talking about the tongue and the way that a Christian speaks, he says, "Can a fresh spring pour forth salt water?" Right? No, right? And an olive tree can't bear figs, and et cetera. So he's talking about Christians and how they're supposed to speak. But here, when he's talking about these deceptive false teachers, he says, they're just empty, right? They're springs without water. Which also, Pastor Frank, reminded me of Psalm 1.
Oh, yeah.
Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the way of the
wicked, or sits in the seat of scoffers, or stands in the...
Yeah,
it goes right. Like that, yeah.
Anyway. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates on his teaching day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams or springs of water. Pastor Frank, and I know you love bringing this up. That word for that planted,
yeah,
and yep, that word for stream, they both have the connotation of not just being planted, but kind of being moved and intentionally planted by not just a stream in the middle of the woods, but like a
irrigation ditch.
Yeah, like an irrigation ditch.
But irrigation ditch doesn't sound good in poetry, so
yeah,
they say stream.
Right?
There's nothing romantic about the idea of an irrigation ditch.
Yeah.
But that's what the word you are transplanted. You are moved,
yes,
to beside this irrigation canal. Yeah.
Yeah, so there you have, you know, for those who dwell on the teaching, the true word of the Lord, they're like trees that have been planted intentionally by irrigation canals that can feed them and let them grow, and they produce their fruit in their season, and their leaf does not wither, they prosper in everything. But if you plant yourself, if you plant yourself among false teachers beside these empty springs, you will wither and die.
Yeah, there's nothing for you there.
Yeah, there's nothing that is going to help you. In fact, you will not get the nourishment and the living water that you need. I know I'm mixing up a whole lot of metaphors here.
Yeah.
But that's a serious warning, because any word that is not the true word of God is dangerous, right? Anyone who claims to speak for the Lord, right, with his authority, and speaks falsely is leading people to set up beside empty springs. So another reason why we just, you know, when you hear someone who claims the name Christian and they also take the position of teacher, make sure that you listen to what they say and judge it against what Scripture says. And, you know, as our congregation, that's also your job too, to know the Scriptures well enough that if we say something from the pulpit that does not square with what the apostles and prophets have said, that you bring it to our attention. That's why we have a board of elders, right, Pastor Frank?
Yeah.
So, you know, we are mere men, but we have been given the task of and the office of pastor and preacher. But we are still, you know, we are still mere men. And so we need the body of Christ to keep us on the straight and narrow, as Peter says, so that we can keep you on the straight and narrow, right? No one wants a pastor who lies to them or who preaches false things.
Oh, well people want it.
Yeah.
Lots of people want a false teacher.
I should, yeah, that's true. Lots of people.
Lots of itching ears out there waiting to, you know, to hear the things they want to hear.
Yeah, but if you're a Christian who knows the Scriptures, then you will want a pastor and a preacher who preaches to you, who consoles you and counsels you and relates to you from the Scriptures, right? Not from our own imaginations or cleverly devised myths. All right, so I pretty much just took 5 minutes to say what verse 18 says.
Let's get to verse 19. Really, that's what I really want to talk about.
So let's, that is these teachers, right? These false teachers, they promise freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity, for a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. Pastor Frank, they promise freedom.
Yeah.
That was the very first, at least kind of in my, my way of looking at things, which you may or may not agree with, and that's totally fine because this is a Bible study. This was the first promise the false promise that Satan made to Adam and Eve.
Hmm.
Right?
Interesting. How so?
So yeah, I'm gonna show my work. I'm gonna defend my dissertation here.
Yeah. Well, make it quick. Yeah, I don't know if you don't have a lot of time here.
Yeah. So Satan approached Eve, right, speaking, talking to animals.
Yeah.
Satan approached Eve as a serpent and said, hey, how's it going? And did God really say that you shouldn't eat from the trees that are in the midst of the garden? And Eve said, well, we can eat from any tree that we want except for this one tree. And she said, the moment that we touch it, we will die. And Satan says, oh, no. See, God knows that when you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God knows that then your eyes will be opened, you'll be enlightened, and you will be like God. And God doesn't want that, right? He wants you to be subservient and, you know, and lesser. But God knows that you will be just like him. So Satan, in so many words, was offering Adam and Eve freedom from under the thumb of God. I mean, that's, you know, you could call it a bunch of other things, but Satan was promising them a freedom from the rule, the law that God had given them. And that was kind of where it all started, right? But Pastor Frank, moving on to more modern example, I don't know if you agree or disagree
with
that.
No, I'm waiting for you to talk, because I have... I have things to say.
So, yeah. So, but on to more modern examples, right? They, false teachers promise freedom, but they're slaves of depravity. A man is slave to whatever has mastered him. That's really the kicker, right? That's the proverb. A man is slave to whatever has mastered him. And yeah.
Whoever sins is a slave to sin.
Exactly. Yeah. First John, right? Or is
it's
that,
just John.
Yeah, just yeah, John.
Just
yeah.
John.
Well, it's Jesus. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Gospel of John.
Yeah. Yeah. John chapter 8, Jesus, the Israelites say, we've never been, the Jews say, we've never been enslaved to anyone. And Jesus says, anyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. And if you think you're not enslaved to sin, first of all, you have to acknowledge that it actually is sin and it's bad. But if you think you're not a slave to sin, then just stop. I double dog dare you.
Yeah. Talk to people who are in the sin of addiction and ask them how easy it is to just manage that one corner of their life.
Yeah.
Just that one thing, how hard that is to manage and how that never leaves, you know, and understand that every sin we have, its effects of it may not be as drastic, but every sin we have, if you try to control that one piece, you'll discover how quickly, how hard it is just to control one piece of your sin, let alone the broad spectrum of ways that we sin against the Lord.
Yeah. Well, and that's really, I mean, that's it, right?
Yeah.
Pastor Frank, you are a slave. You are a slave to whatever has mastered you. And so Satan, right? That voice in your head, Satan, he will get inside your head and he will say, well, no, you know, this is true freedom from the commands of God. You know, that tyrannical master who doesn't want you to have any fun, who doesn't want you to live your best life, who doesn't want you to do A, B, C, D, all the way down to X, Y, and Z. And he makes it sound like freedom.
And did God really say that? Is that just people telling you that?
Yeah. But whatever you are enslaved to is your master. So you are not free, right? You are not free. You are either a slave mastered by Jesus, or you are a slave under the tyrannical lordship of Satan.
Yeah.
Right? And Satan would have you believe that Jesus is the tyrannical Lord, but we know that, I mean, your sin will eat you alive. Your sin will literally and spiritually kill you. And yet Satan calls that freedom, right? The world around you, the messaging from the sinful world will call that freedom. But you live in sin long enough and it becomes your master and it will demand more and more of you until it kills you. Jesus, on the other hand, is a gracious master, and Jesus, he doesn't let you live in your sin, he rescues you from it. And instead of taking and taking and taking and taking, Jesus is a Lord who gives.
Yeah, he doesn't take until you die, he gives until you live.
Yeah.
Oh, let's put that on a t-shirt, yeah. Pastor Danny.
That'll preach.
Yeah. Y'all forget we all heard that. We'll bring that back up like in Good Friday or something.
Yeah, or Reformation Day.
Yeah. Well,
hey, wait a second. That's like in a month.
In a month. I just wanted, because I know you got to leave here, and I've been holding this in,
yeah.
Pastor Danny.
Yeah.
All right. So,
Have at it.
Yeah. They and by appealing to the lustful desires of human nature, they entice people. They promise them freedom. And think, Pastor Danny, in the last, probably 60 years or so, the American society, really what we call the Western culture, has gone through what is referred to as the sexual revolution, and think about, if you just kind of decouple yourself from that, from the history of it, from the your experience in it, just thinking about how that's been sort of talked about in our culture, and I don't want to sit here and just bash on culture all day. But think about how that's talked about as if happiness is just over the next hill when it comes to human sexuality, since St. Peter talks about lustful desires here. Think about happiness is always described as just over the next hill. If we just disconnect human sexuality from married life, right, and let people just live how they feel like living, right? If we disconnect those things, then everyone will be much happier. And we cross over that bridge and we find out, no, we're just more miserable than we ever were. Well, if we just disconnect the idea that the sexual relationship should be between man and woman, if we disconnect that, then everybody will be happier. We just got to get over that next hill, and then everybody will be happier. Well, no, we're still all miserable. And you know, if we disconnect the idea of your, and we get into Aristotelian philosophy that your body and yourself are not the same thing, sorry, Aristotle should have been left on the ash heap of history, but if we disconnect the idea of man and woman from your physical reality, then everybody will be much happier. And we keep hearing this promise that if we just get over this next hill, we'll have true freedom, everybody will be happy. And what's really making us unhappy is we're holding on to these old norms. But the fact of the matter is every time we cross one of these bridges, every time we get up over the next hill, what we realize is that we are just more and more miserable. Half of the country is on Prozac. Right? That's my family doctor told me that is the thing he sees people for the most is depression. We keep being told that we're going to be happy. If we just get free, we'll be happy. And we keep getting freer, you know, freer, freer, and we're getting more and more miserable. Right? Why? Because we've disconnected ourselves to what God teaches. We've disconnected ourselves from what God has intended for marriage to be a picture of the relationship between Jesus and the church and all and everything that goes along with it. You keep getting promised freedom like Adam and Eve, but the next thing you know is you're hiding in the bushes because you realize something is terribly wrong, but you can't put your finger on it. You don't want to admit that this is what we've done. All right, Pastor Danny, I'm sorry. I've hijacked your lesson again.
No, not at all. I knew that was coming, and I was excited.
We've been. Danny and I talk a lot.
Yeah.
to each other.
And to you guys.
And to you, but mostly to each other.
So, but that is the greatest. That is the greatest deception, right? Is that we call what is harmful good, and we call what is enslaving true freedom.
Yeah.
And it makes us, you know, we stray further from God's truth every day, and we're miserable because we are enslaved to sin, but we don't want to admit it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway, Pastor Frank.
Yeah. And by the way, if you're taking like Prozac, it's not because you're sexually bad. I don't want to. There's not a straight line connection there.
My dog takes Prozac.
Rory, really?
Yeah.
Doggy Prozac?
We've got
doggy
dosages? Kids. Yeah, yeah. We've got kids in the house, and it stresses her out.
Yeah.
So the vet actually said, you know. So
put it in the drain. Put it in drinking water.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Pastor Frank, we better end there.
We're getting into enough trouble.
Yeah. We'll pick up next week. Could you close us with a word of prayer?
Yeah, we absolutely can. We're taking no questions after this, by the way.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, you have promised us true joy. You have granted us the blessed vision of eternal life and the ability to participate in that eternal life even today. Every time we love and honor you and one another, we get a glimpse of what that blessed future is in heaven. We thank you for these good words that put us in communion with you. And we ask you, Lord, that as we leave this place, your Holy Spirit would draw us closer to you every day. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.